meeting of March 8th, 2022. The meeting is called to order at 7:02 PM. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Mayor Smith?
Here.
Danny Cumberland?
He's special. He's excused.
Collins Barnes?
Here.
Sherman Brown?
Here.
Jack Foster?
I think I heard you say my name. I'm here.
Here.
Arlene Jefferson?
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We'll go on to the first order of business. It's approval of the agenda. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the March 8th, 2022 agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
A motion by Marita.
Second.
A second by Arlene. The roll call, please, Shannon.
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Jack.
Yes.
Alan.
Yes.
Shirley.
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, we'll move on to the next item, is the consent agenda. There's one item, consent agenda, the minutes of the regular meeting of February 8th, 2022. Has everyone had a chance to read over the minutes? Any questions or comments?
I saw a spot where it said council member Jack, Councilperson Jack Foster stated he supported of challenging the census figures. That he wasn't even here. Right. On page 2, under the administrative report. That's the only thing I noticed.
Just a couple, titles, I guess. On page 1, if we could change finance office Gunderson to finance officer. It's the last paragraph on page 1. On page 2, I just had a question on it's also under administrator report. It said administrator Keeler reported .current.engineers. I was just an architect. Is the current "the" supposed to be deleted, or the current engineers? Extra work. Okay. So we'll just delete those. And then again, down under EMS director Carmen, under the first sentence there, change chief to director. On page 2, under ordinances, hearings, ordinances, and resolutions, under number 1, it has 9-11. Just take out the dash for the slash. I guess it is not a dash. And under old business, number 1, resolution 2201 should be resolution 2202. Resolution, remote sales. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have.
Thanks, Arlene. Any other corrections?
I'm sorry. I know it's like... Some they would say Arlene Gunnarsson, and then on a lot of them it says A. Gunnarsson. I don't know if you want to be consistent with that, or it doesn't matter.
Okay. Thanks, Brent. Do you have some, Alan?
I've got a question, Jim.
Go ahead, Jack.
On that ordinance hearings and resolutions on the last meeting, is that tonight or no, it wasn't. This is minutes. And it says under councilperson Arlene there, but on the motion, I see a motion in a second. Was there a vote on that, or should there have been a vote on that, or I don't see it?
Put it on the floor.
We voted to put it on the floor.
For discussion.
Mm-hmm. For discussion.
You said there was no, it doesn't show that. We voted.
He's asking if there should have been a vote when the ordinance was put on the resolution and second.
For first reading.
Right, thanks, Jack.
Yeah, okay, I had another question there on page 2. Yeah. On the bottom, it's got comments that I had commented on following the census figures, and I'm sitting there trying to see what that was pertaining to. I see the travel lifters up above we're talking about, and the engineers, but I don't see where the... I still don't see where it's talking about the census in that paragraph.
Jack, that sentence needs to be deleted because you weren't even at the meeting, and I think that was a different meeting where we talked about the census figures.
Yeah, right. That's why I brought it up, too. So, Roger.
Okay. All right, thanks, Jack.
Thanks.
Here we have a correction. So, if there's no further additions or corrections, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the minutes of February 8th, 2022, with corrections.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Shirley.
I'll second.
Second by Marita. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Jack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, the next, we'll move on to reports. And first report is from Finance Officer Curtis Gunn.
Good evening.
So I don't have the numbers for my finance report, and I just wanted to give you guys an update that I've been busy with the auditors, gathering samples for them, and I think we're pretty much almost done with them, but that's where all my time has been going. And just recently we received a notice from the IRS, and our employment tax returns for 2019 have been selected for examination, and that's scheduled for March 10th. And I'm going to ask to reschedule for next month.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. Any questions or comments for Curtis? All right, hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next item. The next report is with Administrator Jordan Keeler.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. Good evening, staff. It's a pretty busy last month. As you know, we had the architects and engineers out to inspect the city building. We should get a report from them within the next month. Continue to work with Trident and Dillon, as well as the state. Again, the city hooked up to be the sole provider of water for Trident. I am pleased to announce that we did receive just over $404,000 from the state through the Local Government Lost Revenue Program. I applied back in November, not sure if we would get anything or not. So basically the state had a pot of about $50 million, give or take, and communities that had a negative impact from the COVID-19 pandemic during the calendar year 2020 were eligible to apply. We had to show demonstrated losses from years past. I applied for more funding, but given that the funding was oversubscribed, the state used a formula to determine what jurisdiction would get how much. So I think I showed about $780,000 loss. So we got $404,000, which, hey, we'll take it. Pretty good. So that paperwork's still being processed with the state. I did go to the winter AML meeting in Juneau. I did have the chance, along with our lobbyists, to meet with Representative Edgman and Senator Hoffman. I pitched our CAPSIS project, which was the request for funding for a new incinerator unit. They were generally receptive to it. You know, I explained that something that we have already, and that, you know, what we have now is near the end of its lifespan, and we can't get replacement parts. So overall, I got a pretty good reception on that. Unfortunately, politics being politics, who knows what's going to shake out in terms of the budget. Although, generally, with the increase in oil prices these days, that does tend to favor us to get funding for it. So ANTHC is going to come out hopefully next month when I'm out there for the council meeting to take a look at the dam as well as go over the water system. Part of that depends on Dillon's schedule, but they're eager to come out and take a look, which is positive. We had a great representative in the past, and this guy seems to have hit the ground running, so to speak. We did receive $11,000 in funding from the 2018 Gulf of Alaska Pacific Cod disaster. The funds had to be used to support the cod fishery, so I applied for that as well. Haven't heard back. They just had to vet the project. I do some good news in that EAT, through generosity, was able to fund an additional 2 years for the drug task force position in Anchorage. So that's a big win for the community. Our officer does a great job preventing the flow of drugs and other narcotics into the community. So that's really pleased to report that. You know, again, thank you to EAT and all the board members who support what the city's out there doing. As Curtis alluded to, we have the audit that's going on right now, so assisted with that, some documents. Due to the fact that the city received so much CARES Act funding, it did trigger what's known as a single federal audit. So we have the regular audit, and this is just a bonus audit, I guess, during the audits. So I dug stuff up for that. And then last Thursday and Friday, I attended Swampsea with the mayor in Anchorage. Like all conferences, some really good presentations. Others maybe not as applicable as some, but could be and otherwise. So that's my report. And then I do want to touch on the Travelift very briefly. It's scheduled to ship out from Seattle the 1st of April, so they think they'll be in town to assemble it starting the 6th or 7th of April. So it's on the way, it's real, it's legitimate, and it's coming. So that's going to be a positive development for us this upcoming season and moving forward, hopefully for the next 35 or 40 years.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? All right, hearing none. I got a question from, would that, from the EATS, would that cover fire and EMS also as it did before, or that was separate because of COVID?
That will be covered at a future meeting. I did speak with Paul about it. Paul Miller, the CEO, and it was not on the agenda this time, but it will be in a probably their next board meeting.
All right, thanks, George.
But he did sound committed to maintaining that funding as well. So.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sounds good. All right. There's no further questions or comments for Jordan. Thanks, Jordan. We'll go on to the next report.
Sure.
The Department of Public Safety, Police Chief Dave Anderson.
Good evening. You have the activity for the month of February before you, and it was a pretty regular February. It seems like things go in spurts, though. We were quiet for a long time, and then the end of the month, we're just every day, and the guys rotated out. About the time I came on, so I had to finish up all the paperwork as it goes. On your packet, also at the end there, you'll see a report from Investigator Lowry, their monthly activity with the task force, the various cases that they've are working on right now. Gives you an idea of what's happening there. In addition to this, you'll see a letter addressed to Mr. Keeler from Investigator Lowry, giving an idea of what they're dealing with out there and the connections to the Aleutians here, a nexus to the Aleutian chain. It gives you an idea of the amount of money that comes out here for illicit narcotics, and the importance of having that task force in Anchorage makes our job so much easier out here by cutting it off right there at the doorway to the city. I want to thank EATS and especially Mr. Keeler and Investigator Lowry for putting together and working to get funding for that position. I think it's a huge bone to the city to be able to get a control on this problem. We'll never be able to completely wipe it out, but we can go a long ways to mitigating a lot of it. So thank you and kudos to them and EATS. Anybody have any questions for me? Thank you.
All right, hearing none. Thanks. All right. We'll move on to the next order of business, which is report from EMS Director Carmen Holbert.
Well, Rescue One had two calls, two medevacs. We are moving into a city office, and I need to know the COVID rules. I don't know. If EMS has COVID, do we still respond because it is an emergency? Is the community fine if we have COVID and we still respond to the emergency? I just kind of need to know what our policy is with that. And then we're still in the middle of our event planning for May.
Right. Thanks, Carmen. Any questions or comments for Carmen? All right, hearing none. I'll get back to you on the. I don't think there's a separate ordinance that protocol for the EMS. All right. We'll move on to the next report, which is the Fire Chief, Robert Cadotti.
Good evening, everyone. My report is as follows. We just had one call on the 25th, and the notes are in the report. Other than that, I've been training on the equipment, assisting Carmen with EMS calls, and I'll continue to be doing that. I will have I'll be having an official recruitment here when this fishing season gets over with, this short season coming up, because I know a lot of people on the list that want to be on the list are fishing right now. So it's going to be an official recruitment. Final list, I'll get my list submitted to the city so that they can be called in an emergency. And that's all.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Yep.
Any questions or comments for Robert? Hearing none? All right. Thank you, Robert. We'll move on to the next report, which is, well, the next is Public Works. Julius asked to be excused. And his report is in the packet. So if you have any questions, he said to get a hold of me tomorrow at work. And so we'll move on to the next report, which is Water and Sewer Supervisor Dylan Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Didn't see mine in here, but last month, most of the things I worked on were with talks with Trident, DEC, our reps at NTHC about our plant and being able to provide Trident water. The school was dealing with some leaks with their swimming pool, and they drained it and filled it back up. And I had to monitor that for a few days so that our pumps wouldn't overwork themselves at the school pump house. That took some time. Did my reports and water samples as usual. We dug up and located a water service up in Balboa Court and turned them off as requested. Other than that, not a lot to report on.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Any questions or comments for Dylan? Hearing none. Thank you, John.
Yep.
And we'll move on to the next report, which is the Harbor Master, Alan Cuccino.
Hello, everybody. February, we hauled and launched a couple boats. Took a couple oil bins to Public Works, drained them. We burned some waste oil. Serviced and maintained equipment, and we received some of the lumber to repair the east wall. Currently making bilge blocks and wedges. And that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Any questions or comments for Alan? The first slide. Hey, okay. We'll move on to the next report, which is the report from the student rep, Ashton. Welcome, Ashton.
Hello. Last week, the boys and girls played against King Cove. Last Friday, there was a dance. The boys' basketball team will be heading to regionals in Bristol Bay. Girls in Metacotic. Close-up would be is coming up on the 6th of next month. And that is about it.
All right, thanks, Ashton. Any questions or comments for Ashton? All right, hearing none, thanks. All right, all the reports. Move on to the next order of business is hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. We have one, Ordinance 2201, address mapping system. Will be on the floor for the second reading. Do we have a motion to put Ordinance 2201 on the floor for the second reading?
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2022-01 on the floor for second reading.
A motion by Marita. We have a second.
Second.
A second by Arlene. Thank you. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, ordinance 2202 has, you know, there's three main reasons for it. The first, you know, it's essentially future-proofing. So, as the state moves towards consolidating 911 operations, this will put the city ahead of the curve on that. A lot of communities off the road system don't have standardized addressing. So, when you, so if you were to call 911 and say, hey, you know, house is on fire or something, or I need an ambulance, you know, you can give them an address, because now the way it works is it's a very informal system where it's, hey, I have two doors down from Paul. Well, you know, the 911 center is not going to know who Paul is. So you can say, you know, now I live at, hey, I need an ambulance at 4400 Corbin, and that'll, that, you know, them having that information, they can relay that to the responders who, you know, will know where to go. Second is our records management. So as part of the statewide records management system, it's just, it harmonizes the reporting. That way, you know, there's a, when they do make an incident report, it'll be assigned to the correct location. Third is, you know, real ID. So now, you know, these, you know, addresses would be recognized by the post office. You can go to the DMV in Anchorage with no hassle and say, hey, you know, you can take your utility bills and say, hey, I live here, and this is my address. Can I get a real ID or a TWIT card and other federal documents as well? I know there was some discussion about lowering the fines. You know, we can do that. You know, this is not meant to be a punitive ordinance. It's for public safety, records keeping. You know, we're not out to get anybody. It's not, you know, we're not trying to stick it to people here. You know, we're providing the placards. We already have them. So I know there was some discussion last time on lowering the fines. That's no problem at all. So I just want to point that out.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan?
I just have a couple questions. I was trying to figure out where they were. So on the, when did the letters go out to the individuals regarding this change or addition? Because it says May 1st as the date, as the effective date. I was just wondering, it's March. So do we have enough time there for that, or?
Yeah, I mean, we can send the letters out this week.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll send it out this week, and then we'll also include a letter as well when we send the next batch utility bills out.
Okay. I was wondering if they were going out with the utilities. I was thinking it's quite close to get that letter in with the utilities, but this should be coming up real quick here.
Right, yeah, no, it's, so there's basically almost a two-month window between, you know, if it's adopted tonight, between tonight's adoption and the effective date. So, you know, we send out at least two notices, one separate, just a separate notice, and then as well as, you know, the insert with the utilities.
Okay. And I know we discussed at the last meeting, individuals being able to purchase their own numbers. So is that something we're going to add into the ordinance, or is it going to be strictly provided by the city?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? There's a little bit of background noise.
Sure. At the last meeting, we discussed individual being able to purchase their own numbers for their homes, but I know the city also has some that they're providing. Or is that going to be strictly provided by the city, or are homeowners going to be able to purchase their own lettering numbers? because that's something that
we would prefer that they're standardized. And, you know, we do have all the plaques right now needed, as well as some extras. And which, and again, you know, if somebody wishes to get their own lettering, as long as they have the city one up, that's fine too.
Okay, because the city is providing them. How long are we going to be providing those numbers? That was my question. If they're going to be provided by the city.
They would be provided indefinitely. We don't really foresee a lot of development at this time. And then, these plaques are pretty dang rugged. So it's not like they're going to get sun bleached, within the next year or two or five or ten.
Okay. And another question is...
Yeah, I could...
One minute, Jack.
Yep.
Thanks. Go ahead.
The other one was we were looking at 12.70.070, and we were discussing of possibly removing that section from this ordinance. It's the removal or damage of signs or numbers. In my mind, that seems to be redundant with the first two of 0.020 and 0.050, or they have to display their sign and they have to maintain them.
Yeah. So the intent of 0.70. It's more of a vandalism issue. It's, some character decides to, let's say, break off Jack's, that would be an enforcement action against them. So it wouldn't be Jack would be punished, it would be the person who committed the damage.
So do we already have something that's covered for vandalism? Or this is a separate type of vandalism?
I believe we do. I don't have the full code in front of me at this very moment.
All right. Thanks, Arlene. You had a comment, Jack?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make sure that I've been kind of running this over in my head now, but it seems to me this ID you guys are supplying, that's going to be in a Sandpoint ID for government, because there's a bunch of us. I mean, the city is way behind the curve on this permanent addresses. And a lot of us, I'm sure I'm not the only one, are going to be pretty unhappy if we've got to go change all of our addresses on everything we own now. So I wanted to put that out that it's almost going to have to be something what Arlene was talking about, getting your own numbers, if that's what you need to do. But you guys have heard me before, and I told you, I use official numbers right off the Sandpoint charts for my address at home. Not quite as explicit as GPS, but almost. And I just want to make sure that I'm not going to have to go and change everything. I mean, I got checkbooks going back years that needed a permanent address, and driver's license that's got permanent address on it, and I know it's not going to be the same number as what Sandpoint's given me.
All right, Jack. Thanks. Any other questions or comments?
I just want to say that if this goes into effect, it's going to help the post office, because we cannot go into our WebAt system and validate your physical address, because it doesn't exist. So that would help. Up there.
All right. Thanks, Shirley. Last meeting we discussed like half of the fines. Would that, is that what we're going to go with on the amendment? So instead of the hundreds, it would be 50s, and then would we half the 500 to 250 then? Is that how that would work? That's how it follows.
It would be
because there's a maximum.
Mm-hmm.
No greater than 500.
But no greater than 500 is what's in the ordinance as far as fines for.
Right.
So that's the, I mean, in the code.
Or the minor offenses. Yeah.
The code says no more than 500 unless it's already stated in the ordinance. Is that right, Jordan?
Yeah, so I did pull up our code. I don't see anything in our code right now that explicitly deals with like destroying a placard. Only thing I see in our code is, let me see. Sorry, let me just head it up. So our right now our code does cover, quote, disregard, deface, remove, tamper with, or damage a sign or notice. That fine is currently $50. And then stealing of stealing less than $100 of property, the fine's $100. And then obstruct, conceal, tear down official notice or placard, the fine is $100. So, you know, we can lower the fine amount under 020 to 50, same with 050. And we can get rid of the 070 because it would appear to be covered by, you know, existing language in city code under the obstruction or, you know, under obstruct, tear down, obstruct, conceal, tear down official notice or placard, which again I would note is a $100 fine. So if council wants to just get rid of section 12.70.070, I think we would have, you know, we already have a fine mechanism in place for that.
When everybody's done with their comments, could I make some comments on the proposed changes? And
sure.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
Sure.
So, any other comments or questions? On the color, I remember there was something last.
Yeah,
is blue and white going to be the only color we go with? Or can we add? I know it has to be contrasting so you can see it, but yet, if someone gets their own, can they get another color? Do we need to specify that?
Right. You know, and again, the. We are looking to kind of to harmonize things and standardize them, so that way, you know, if everybody has, you know, the exact same color, it's it's fancy reflective stuff you can see at night. So we're just trying to keep it simple. You know, everybody has the same. If somebody wants to get a fancier one, that's fine. But again, we're just looking to make sure every resident has, you know, a standard, you know, address placard. Sorry, street number plaque.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Any other?
Sure.
Alan, do you have any comments?
I guess I said the same thing last time. Unfortunately, I think we have to leave the fines in there. I mean, I don't think our intent is to run out fining everybody, but, you know, unfortunately, in this world, there's some people who just can't stay out of trouble. I think this is really important. You know, getting house numbers on people's houses. I said this last time, too, is I remember a police officer that went into the wrong house, and unfortunately, our officers didn't grow up here. And, you know, we really need to get these house numbers on houses, you know, for their safety and for others. That could have just been a total mess. I think it's been discussed that, you know, if you have a current address, you don't have to change it just because this is there. But this will eventually be, you know, through the post office, and it'll be recognized. And if we want a UPS order, that they'll have an actual address other than the post office is the only address in town. And I think we just have to do this. I guess if I had, I understand someone wanting more ornate numbers on their house than a metal plaque, but I guess I could see, as long as it's reflective and contrasting color to the house. And what was our minimum? What did we say? 3 inches? Did I get that right? But whatever we said there, minimum of 3 inch, and white reflective, so that, you know, so the EMS crew can find the house, or the, you know, in a, when something bad is happening. I guess I could see that added in there if you wanted something a little more ornate than our metal plaque. I mean, but I think we got to get these house numbers up, and we got to go forward with it. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
I got a question on the number requirements. It says 3 inches in height and 1-something inches in width. Is it more than 1 inch? 1.5?
All right, thanks, Shirley. Any further questions or comments?
Yeah, I never got any feedback off that comment of mine, Jim, about changing that. So if I'm understanding what you're saying right, is that I can give you guys my physical address, and then that you guys can use that. Is that correct?
No, this is going to be the system for the city of Sandpoint. Your numbers are your personal numbers, and you can still use them. You're not required to change those numbers on your mail, unless you wish to.
Or possibly in the future.
Or possibly someplace, maybe DMV or something, you know, come along and have you change it to that number. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, unless I can be assured that's not going to happen, I'm not going to be able to support this. So it's pretty cut and dried for me. That lots more paperwork coming for me if I vote yes on this. And I think you'll find out there's a lot more people in town who already have their permanent addresses and records of it. So I just put that forward.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, to Jack's point, so, you know, for things like your the deed to your house, those are not impacted by any, you know, address change. Your house is on a block and lot system, so like U.S. Survey, 3585, tract A, you know, block 4, lot 27, or whatever, you know, that's not going to change. You know, Visa is still going to send you, you know, mail to your current address. You know, that's not going to change. But I do understand Mr. Foster's concern about you know, is the DMV going to say, hey, Mr. Foster, we noticed you guys changed addresses. You have to go fill out all these forms to get a new driver's license with, you know, this, with, quote, the Sand Point address. You know, a completely valid concern. I understand it. You know, moving is not fun. You know, changing all that paperwork is not fun. It's pain. So, you know, if council desires, we can certainly table this to the next meeting, and I can work with both the post office and confirm with, you know, the DMV saying, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, we have residents right now who have their own address. You know, is this going to cause an issue down the, you know, either immediately or some way down the line? You know, that's, I think that would go a long way to assuaging people's concerns that, oh man, I got a bunch of paperwork, you know, in front of me. So that is one option.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
Other comments? Arlene, did you want
to? I just wanted to comment on the ordinance with some of the proposed changes under the title deleting under third sentence. It says, and for tampering with posted address numbers, since we're going to be deleting 12.70.070. So did you delete that? On the second page, section 12.70.040, and just what Shirley pointed out, changing the one IY to 1.5, and then deleting the words, the address numbers or characters shall be reflective white on a contrasting background of blue, as to be clearly visible, uniform, and unmistakable, and add into that at some point will provide for free address numbers, and if desired, a property owner may choose their own numbers to be displayed that are reflective and contrasting.
Can you repeat the last half of the last sentence?
Sure.
So Sand Point will provide placards and residents.
If desired, a property owner may choose their own numbers to be displayed that are reflective and contrasting.
And I think I would support that. Yeah.
And under, we're going to be deleting 12.70.070. So we'll be renumbering 12.70.080 to 0.7070, the penalties and enforcement. Under section 4, change the fine amounts on 0.020 and 0.050 to $50 each, and deleting 12.70.070.
Okay, yeah, so staff can go ahead and make those changes and incorporate it. If council desires to table to next month, so that way we can have a, you know, we can address the concerns brought up tonight and have a cleaner document to consider for the next meeting.
All right. Thanks, Arlene, Jordan. Do we wish to table this till the next meeting, or would you like to vote on it?
Maybe we should continue.
No, I've been considering the amount of changes that we should table it, and I'd make a motion to that effect. It's Alan, and
you know, I respect Jack's view there, and I'm willing to put it off till the next meeting.
So we have a motion and a second. Motion by Jack and a second by Alan to table until the next meeting for more clarification. So we'll table it until then. We'll get a roll call. Do we need to vote on that?
There's a motion and a second. Do you need a roll call?
One second, you get a vote now. That's pretty deep in the book, I think. Sounds like you should. You don't
vote pretty for sure. Descriptive about our changes, so I don't.
I thought it was good, but in a year.
Do we need to vote on our changes?
I think we should. We'd make a motion to proceed with the changes, wouldn't we? If this motion fails.
She got quiet. Did I lose you guys?
No.
We pushed mute, Jack. We're looking up whether we need to vote on the motion.
What if we all don't agree with him?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where the vote has to be made.
So why wouldn't we just do a roll call?
I think it would be fine to do this. It can't be illegal to have a roll call. It must be okay.
Well, it would be nice to see this all in
writing,
the right form before you actually adopt it, I think. You know, with all the changes.
Because there was a lot.
So are we
going to
do a roll call and table it
in the
table meeting?
Yeah.
Or do we just agree to table it?
Well, someone has a different opinion. Okay, we'll have a roll call to table.
Arlene?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
No.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. We'll table this until the next meeting. And we'll go on to the next order of business. There is no new business. Or open business. I believe we're moving down to public comments. Any public comments at this time?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, may I make a comment, please?
Yes.
So just, you know, I should touch on this during my report. I didn't, my mistake. So as everybody knows, the Board of Fish meeting is coming up. They're going to hear the AC, it's Proposal 282, which was formerly known as ACR 6, it relates to the June fishing time. So, unlike the previous Board of Fish cycle, in order to speak, you have to sign up in advance on the Fish and Game website. So you go to Fish and Game, click on Board of Fish, click on the meeting that's being held March 26th through, I think, the 2nd of April, and you just have to fill out a quick form stating, you know, who you are, you know, who you're representing, if anybody, you know. For people who are fishermen, you don't need to put down you represent the city. In my capacity, I did put down that I represent the city. And then you can go ahead and select what your preferred speaking dates. So I do encourage everybody who plans to attend that to register as soon as possible so you can get the best, so you can get your preferred speaking time. So I just wanted to point that out for both people of the city will be sending, as well as anybody who's listening who will be attending and hasn't signed up yet.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Rob, did you have a comment?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
As a resident of this town, I wanted to just kind of bring up that this place is dark here, this town, street lights. Just wanted to kind of see if the council would kind of work a system out. I know the city's really busy right now, but where we can kind of go through town, see which ones aren't working. I can tell you a bunch right now, but, you know, bus stops and stuff like that for the safety of the kids. And there's an ongoing issue of ballasts going out. Maybe we can research getting some LEDs. They'll be cheaper. They'll, you know, run less electricity, but we need to get lights around here. I mean, this, we live in Alaska. It's wintertime. I mean, it needs to be done for the kids' safety, walking to the bus stops, for everybody's safety. Crime goes down when there's more lights. So I just like to, you know, put that out as a resident that maybe we can start working on that.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right, thank you.
We've been working on them.
No, I know.
I'm sorry, I couldn't tell who that was.
Rob, Gadotti.
The two lights that are out in the wild.
Most of our street lights are already LED.
That's not our lights. There's no power going to those.
Okay. Yeah, we've had issues with power at the pole.
Change quite 6 months now. PDX now.
Okay.
But it's an ongoing, yeah, especially through this year.
So the city's handling some and TDX are handling others. I know you worked on the one at the bus stop. I appreciate that. I know that.
But right.
I mean, just right here. There's one right there. When it was daylight, saw it. It's not on. You know, it's just. So maybe if we can just get a count of them and talk to TDX and. And I heard Alan say that most of them are LEDs right now, so that's great. But I noticed one in our neighborhood that flickers on and off every 30 seconds.
Sure.
It's in your yard. I mean, that's the only light on the street. So maybe just, you know, formulate a plan. And he's maintaining them. I understand that. But, you know, just kind of address it a little bit.
3-3-2-3-3-1.
All right.
I was up there today. I don't know what's going on.
All right, that's all I have.
Thanks, Rob. All right, any other public comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to council comments. Any council comments?
I would just like to say good luck to our people teams that are dropping
to the regions. Right. Thanks, Arlene. Any other comments? All right. Very none at this time.
It's Alan.
Oh, go ahead, Alan.
I wasn't sure if we answered Carmen's question about whether they respond if they're, you know, if the responders have tested positive or not. I think if someone's in trouble, we have so few, EMS personnel. I think if they take precautions and, you know, if you're positive and you wear a mask, I mean, I think we've all been exposed at this point. So I guess if I had an opinion, it would be, you know, to let our responders do their job in a professional manner and not worry about it. That's all I had.
Thanks, Alan. Any other comments? Council comments? Sure.
I just want to thank everybody for all the good jobs you do for us. You're appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Shirley. Any further comments? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to adjournment. Thank you. Oh, Shannon? Jack, did you have a comment?
No comment.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
Thanks.
Right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Motion by Arlene. Do we have a second?
I'm sorry.
Second by Marita. We are adjourned at 8:01.